Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
This morning, everyone is very welcome. For the reason of the event of today, we're going to have a short message. And we title it, Death and the Believer. It's more like a message of circumstance. Death and the believer. So, really, what does it mean? We that are in Christ, what is death representing for us? That is what we are going to try and understand, because we know that everyone will die. Believers as unbelievers, we will all go. But if you have lived and served God and you die, what does it mean for you? The book of Hebrews chapter 2 and the verses 9. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So he came here as a human being, so that he will also taste death. He was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Christ tasted death. He tasted. It's interesting. The word is so powerful. Christ tasted death for every man. And in Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, he said that, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, so when we have come to Christ, when we have come to know Jesus Christ, Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same covenant with the Father, that through death he might destroy him, Satan, that had the power of death, that is the devil. It is through death that Jesus destroyed Satan that had the power of death. He tasted death because the Father made him to be flesh and blood as we are, and he died. But the death of Christ was not just a vain death. There was a work that was done, taking power of death from the man of death, Satan. The Lord destroyed death and took absolute control from the one that held the key of death, Satan. And verse 15 says, he said, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to death. It is very powerful scripture, because we have people, when the word says that through their lifetime, out of fear, they are subject to death. Who is out there that every single day thinking of death, death, death? Well, maybe not. But it is exactly the same thing when someone is moving today to this particular fetish priest and fearing for, the witches killing his children and moving here and moving. You are restless. You are completely restless. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did. He said through the death of Jesus Christ, he broke that fear of man. Christ tasted death for every man, so that you don't have to be living with the fear of death, with the fear that they will kill you. Because they that are going to kill you do not have power to kill you anymore. This is what the scripture is saying. When we talk about Jesus Christ being our example, it's so powerful. The Lord has been there. That is why you will make it. The Lord has been there. That is why they cannot kill you. The Lord has been there. That is why you will be successful. He has tasted death for all men and broke the power of death over the believers. I want to say two things about these scriptures. Number one, we saw that Jesus did taste death for every man. Not only he tasted death, but the man died and resurrected. So he also passed through death by resurrection life. He didn't just taste death, but he also passed through death. And by doing so, he was able to conquer death after tasting death for every man. He conquered death because he passed through death and came out. What we are talking about here, everyone has to be very sensitive. When we talk about resurrection, there are two ways that a man can resurrect. You can be resurrected and die afterwards, and you can be resurrected after dying and be living forever. This is the one that we are talking about here this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Christ that had overcome death. It is the one that tasted death, that went through death, and then came out and living forever and ever at the right hand of the Father. And the word is telling us that the same way that Jesus took in the form of flesh and lived and died, so is the believer going to experience the same thing as Christ did. So anyone that is living with the fear of death, I have come to tell you that your Jesus, your God had overcome it, and you shall also overcome it in the name of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus is the same one that is also going to raise you up. This is the word of the living God. Resurrection life is one that conquered death. The second thing that we can say is that going through death, it meant victory over death, as we said it. Because in Revelation 1 and the verses 18, the book of Revelation chapter 1 and the verses 18, Jesus said, he said, I am he that liveth. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And have the keys of hell and of death. I have good news for everybody. If Satan is telling you that he's master of hell, he's a liar. And he has not changed his nature. The key, the one that holds the key, is the one that owns the house. The one that holds the key is the one that owns the house, because if not anything, he will lock you in. Hell, as we are talking about, Jesus Christ, through death, had not only conquered death, but had also taken the keys from the hand of Satan. The keys that was released to Satan, at the fall of man, today, it is no more the same. No more the same. Jesus Christ dying for us, cleansing our sins, but also the death of Jesus was meant to break the power of death over the children of God. And because now your Christ is holding the keys of hell and death, until Jesus says it is your time to come, nobody can kill you in the name of Jesus. That is why, I keep saying, please don't be foolish. Do not die before your time. Don't throw yourself in the hand of the devil. Matter of fact, most of the time when people are dying, it is because of their transgressions. Because the word of God, it is yea and amen, and the word is established. And because it's not because of you that God is going to change or amend his word. So you come in line with the word of God and you will live. You work against the word. The wages of sin, it is death. So if you go against the word and you break it, you will definitely taste the taste of death. So you break the hedge, the serpent shall bite. You break the hedge, the serpent shall definitely bite. So as far as a child of God stays right, as far as a child of God is living unto the glory of the Lord, Satan has no power over that child's life. The greatest fear of man is death. The greatest fear of man is death. But I have come this morning to let you know that Jesus Christ, your master, Jesus Christ, your high priest, Jesus Christ, your brother, Jesus Christ, your God, he has the keys of hell and death. Unless he says so, it will not come to pass. Unless the Lord says so, it will not come to pass. So let them say and let them do whatever that they want to do. But you continue the fellowship with your Christ. Stand right with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the witches gather, they shall receive fire in their midst. Let the wizard gather, they shall receive fire in their midst. Whatever that they will be doing in secret because of your fellowship with Christ, and the Lord holds that key. They will kill you, but they cannot. They want to kill you, they cannot. They will make plans to kill you, they cannot. They will send forth to kill you, they cannot. They will make room to kill you, it will not happen. Not over you, not over your children. This is the word of God. Unless the Lord had opened the door, they that are working evil against your life, they work in vain. Well, it is very true that until the Lord, you know, the death of Jesus Christ, Satan was the master, and he was the one that was holding the keys of hell and death. But now, it is no more the case. Jesus Christ has passed through death and had gained victory over death, and the keys are now in his hands. Therefore, in Colossians 1:13, he said, Jesus, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Yes, death is darkness. He had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That is the work that the Father gave to the Son to do. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ has done. It is a kingdom of light, not a kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Everything that is of darkness is dark, thick darkness. But you have to know, do not be afraid of darkness, because now you have been translated from darkness to the light. When we didn't know, so much fear. You can't even sleep. You cannot even sleep. You are the same person that was receiving all this harassment in your dream. And you see something coming from very far. And as it keeps coming, and it's growing and growing and growing and growing until it overshadows you completely. So many things. Your life of sleep is complete torment. But you are the same one. When you came to Christ and you started praying, you started having fellowship with your Lord, and then suddenly all these things gradually, they all disappear. So what is the difference? The difference is because now you have been moved from one place to another, from darkness to the light. And the day that are of darkness, that are operating wickedness in darkness, they have no power over you. Why is it that they are not coming to do the same thing now? Why is it that they are not coming to do the same thing? You are the same person. You have now been moved in Christ. You dwell in light. Why are they not coming? Because darkness and light, they do not go together. As far as a child of God will remain with our Lord Jesus Christ, you are covering it all light. And the blood of Jesus is covering you. Even when you have transgressed, still you have the element of what? Of the blood of the name of Jesus to cleanse you and close every door against the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. We serve a powerful God, a mighty God. Satan is no longer the Lord of death as far as the believer is concerned. But one thing that I can say, he is not the Lord of death. In other words, he is no more the master of death. As far as the believer is concerned, that is why we pray for people that are not knowing Christ. Because for them, Satan still rules over them. He still has the ability to kill them. But for the believer, this is not the case. So, now let's talk about when the believer dies. Well, Jesus Christ is the one, he's the cause of the believer's death. What I'm saying by that is that if truly you have not thrown yourself in the den of the lion, if you are not dying by your foolishness, and you die according to the it is written, in other words, the number of your days being fulfilled. We said it that everybody will die, believer as unbeliever. But when you die at the appointed death by the Father, you are called, or you are caused to die by Jesus Christ. What are we saying? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse is 14. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ would God bring with him. You see that? So apparently, according to the scripture here, when a believer dies, the one that believed that Jesus Christ, he died and rose again, and you are now in Christ. So when you die, God is not saying that you are dead. The Lord sees the believer as someone who is what? Sleeping. You are what? Sleeping. You are sleeping. You are sleeping. So if you are a believer and you want to know about death, please just look at how you sleep. Just look at how you sleep. Because for children of God, there is nothing like death. God himself, when it is your time, he will put you to sleep. The Lord will put you to sleep. The Lord will put you to sleep. So, this is wonderful because the Bible is using the term sleep in relation to the believer when he dies. So, this word is not being used for the unbelievers. Someone that died outside Christ, he is really dead. But the one that dies in Christ, your death is caused by Jesus Christ. So it is Jesus that has put you to sleep. And at the appointed time, the body is what? It's going to be resurrected. The spirit, man is three in one. Man is a spirit being. He has a soul and he lives in this body. When man dies, this body here goes into 6 feet, waiting for the day of resurrection. So some of the questions that came to Apostle Paul was that, are we going to be resurrected with this body? No, you know that after you have gone open the grave, little while someone is dead, this body is decomposed. There is another body that will be given to you at the resurrection. It's the heavenly body. It is the heavenly body. They that are living in heaven, they don't have this flesh that we have here. So at the time of resurrection, the Lord is going to give you a new body and he will resurrect you. The spirit, that is the breath of man that the Lord gave in Genesis 2:7. He said, and the Lord God, he took the dust and formed man and breathed the breath through his nostril. Said the breath of life through his nostril. And man became living soul. So the soul of a man is the man himself. The soul of a man is the man himself. So the moment that a believer is put into sleep, automatically the body is in the grave right there. The spirit, that is the breath of God, back to God. And the soul of the man is right in the presence of God. We are talking about the believer. Right, it goes right away in the presence of Almighty God. So there is no need to fear death at all when you are living in Christ. When one dies in Christ, we celebrate the person's life. We celebrate the person's life. We celebrate. It is very emotional and all that, but that is just the physical aspect of things. But the moment that we have come to understand all that happens afterwards, we say, Lord, we give you glory. We give you glory. We give you honor for all that you have done for our brother or our sister that have passed away. We said it, if you die outside Christ, well, Satan has absolute power over you. Death outside Christ, Satan has power over you. And then one of the areas that we have to clarify also is people that we call them excommunicated. These are believers, but they are stubborn believers. They are in the church and they misbehave and they don't want to go through restoration process. So they rebel. And when they rebel, God can deliver you to Satan. And if you die, remember, there is another work that the Lord will do. Let's read the scriptures together. Matthew chapter 18 and the verses 15 to 18. We have to understand this word, excommunication. So he said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. So if a brother sin against you, someone has done. A brother meaning that all of us are in Christ. So when you are in Christ and a brother had wronged you, we don't act like the people of the world, taking themselves to court and for an unrighteous judge, be standing there and judging you. When we are in the church, when we are part of the body of Christ, our reactions are completely different. So that is what we are talking about here. He said that if a brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. So the first thing that we do, we come and talk to you. Go to the person. What you did, you know, was not really right. That is why I keep saying, I said that make sure that you are always right in the sight of God. Make sure that you are always doing the right thing in the sight of Almighty God. That is how a believer lives his life. You go see the brother. You talk to him about whatever that happened. If this brother or this sister shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Period. The case is over. Maybe the person was not even aware of what you were thinking. But by the time that you approach this person and say, you know what, my sister, what happened last time? I don't really understand what really. He said, what are you talking about? You know, you see, what you were thinking, that's not what the person was thinking, but you took it as a mistake. Or truly the person, you know, wronged you and said, oh, you know what? I was a little stressed by my husband that morning. I'm really sorry. It wasn't you, my sister. I was already coming with my problems. It just happened that you came at the wrong time. I'm sorry, my dear. I'm sorry. You have gained your sister. You have gained your brother. That is what the word is telling us. But in verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, take then, he said, then take with thee one or two more. So you call, don't go and get unbelievers. Do not go and call one or two more unbelievers. Because we are dealing with believers. So you call one or two brothers with you. After you have gone and he is not listening to you, call two brothers with you and you go there. In thy mouth, he said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So now you are trying to get witness. Three of you, you go there and talk to this brother or this sister. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. This is the time that you come and tell the whole story to the pastor. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. This is what we call excommunicated. He doesn't want to hear you alone. He does not want to hear witnesses with you. The church had come into the situation and he saw in the same position, doesn't want to hear anything. You church staff, please, this has nothing to do with church. And you just, what is it that has nothing to do with church? Is there anything in the surface of this world that has nothing to do with church? Your problem is so big that even when the ministers are coming in, you just blush them away. You don't care. This is my decision. This is my problem. The word tells us that when it is like that, we should consider you as a heathen. A heathen is someone that has not known God. Someone that doesn't care about the things of God. A heathen and a republican. Publican. So in verse 18, then the Lord concluded. He said, "Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You see this scripture that we use in prayer a lot. You see under what circumstance the scripture is being used. So be careful. Be careful, because your attitude, your behavior towards one another, towards the group of believers, towards the church itself, you put yourself under a condition. Be careful what we are going to agree here, and bind, heaven will sign it. So before you stand on your position and be thinking that you are you and yourself and nobody is, and you are not hearing nobody, and who is that pastor, let him, Pastor Charles, and what, so what? It is not about the church, oh. It is about Christ, who is the church, that you are neglecting. So the Lord said that we should just let you do what you want. But a time is coming. You are going to face it. So we said that excommunication simply meaning that the believer is placed back under the authority of Satan as far as his physical life is concerned. This is important. The believer is placed back. Remember? As far as his physical life is concerned. So it's like you have been delivered unto Satan. You have been delivered unto Satan. There is a situation in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. There was a case like that. He said, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one that is not willing to listen to the church, listen to nobody, unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord." So you are still going to be saved in the day of the Lord, but your physical life, Satan can kill you. Satan, because you have moved yourself out of your position of power. You have moved yourself out of, that is why, you see, you come, you do things, and we tell you stop it, and you just disregard everyone and going by your own way. Hey, you are going to crash. You are going to crash. You are just opening the door for the enemy to come in. This guy will not spare you. This guy will not spare you. And we have been seeing these things over and over and over and over. Right now that I'm talking, there is a case like that. Be very careful. We don't play with the things of God. We don't play with the church of Christ. The word of God, it is established. I mean, who among us that is not faulty? He said, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. All of us. We are sinning every day. This is why we keep using the salvation tools. We pray for forgiveness and all that. So if you have done something that is wrong, accept that it's wrong, and I'm sorry will not kill you. But remaining with your pride will kill you. It will kill you. It will. Thank you, my Lord. So the physical body will be delivered unto Satan to save your soul. But Satan will definitely kill this body. So, and the last point that I'm making, and then we stop just right here. Jesus Christ himself consecrated death for the believer. He consecrated death for the believer. What does it mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verses 26. He said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy, everything that, you know, you consider to be enemy, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For the believer, death is never a blessing, because death is a product of the fall of man. You see? But Jesus Christ has changed the whole situation around. Death, and this one is, we have to understand it. When God created man, God didn't create man to die. This is so important. God did not create man to die. But death came in at the fall of man. At the fall of man. But we thank God because Jesus Christ has been released as a solution of death. And he had come to die, resurrected, tasted death, and conquered death, and holding the keys of the place of death, hell. And the man of death, Christ has the power over him, which is Satan himself. So for the believer, when you are dying, it is no more punishment as the result of the fall. Absolutely not. Because Christ has, he has paid for it now. So now Christ consecrated the believer's death. He had overcome it. Death has no power over you. Death is completely destroyed. And the Lord has changed the situation of curse, which was death, to life that Christ brought us. So in Psalm 116, and the verse is 15, Psalm 116, verse 15, David made a statement. He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the believer. So you see that when a believer dies, it's precious in the sight of Almighty God. Why is it precious? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse is 8, and I'm going to stop just right here. He said, because of what Christ has done, because of all that we have been saying within this message, I am very sure that by the time that we are done, from now onwards, you are no more going to be afraid of any witch in your life in the name of Jesus. You are no more going to be afraid of any organization of Satan in the mighty name of Jesus, because the fear, the greatest fear of man, Christ has that key and had overcome it, and you have overcome it because you are in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that Apostle Paul made a statement, he said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are willing. We are willing. We are willing to die. We are willing to die. We are willing to go. There is no fear as a child of God when it is your time to go. Now, death that does contain a blessing in that the means of death, the believer goes into the very presence of God in the moment of his death. For the believer's souls, it goes immediately, as I was saying, into God's presence. But the body remains here asleep and awaiting for the day of resurrection. The believers, now your attitude should be one of recognition that if the death comes, you are not to be afraid. But you just have to realize that you are going to be in the presence of Almighty God. So for us, death cannot bring forth any fear, because you cannot be in the presence of God until you die. And death for us, it is not a punishment, but it's a time of transition. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord God heal your heart and break every fear of death against your life, against your children, against your home, in the mighty name of Jesus. As far as you remain in our Lord Jesus Christ and staying away from sin, Satan has no power over you, no power over your home. He cannot kill you. They might threaten you, but it is just a threaten. Let them make a move to come. You shall see what the Lord God will do for them. You shall see what the Lord will do to the enemy. They that said that they will put you in safe feet, they will dig that safe feet, but the Lord will put them in. This is the word of the living God. May the Lord God bless you. Live unto the glory of the Lord. Amen.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.